Okay guys, ito na ang pinaka-inaabangan natin, pag-usapan natin ang surveys. Pag-usapan natin ang Senate Race 2025 and of course, yet another publicly leaked yata survey of 2028. Mukhang in all of them, isa ang pinaka-winner dito, the Tulfos. No, so I have the, so in the Pulse Asia survey, Erwin Tulfo is number one. The same also dito sa Okta survey. But in the Okta survey, slightly mas ahead pa si Erwin Tulfo sa number two, which is si Tito Boy Soto. Si Tito Soto. So 58, almost 59% si Erwin at barely 52% si Tito Soto. So medyo malaki yung agwat niya sa lahat, no? Kasi the rest are all below 50%. Eh si Erwin Tulfo magsi 60% na. So if he solidifies that lead, then mukhang hindi na siya ma-Robin Padilla kasi si Raffy na Robin Padilla, di ba? Out of nowhere, bigla nag-number one si Robin Padilla.
Yes.
But here, the difference with the Pulse Asia survey is that there, mukhang five and above si Ben Tulfo. Dito si Ben Tulfo is statistically tied actually almost for, well, he's number four, pero hindi siya masyadong malayo dun sa number two and three, which is Bongo. And I can count Bongo essentially as kind of a, I don't know, stand-in for Digong. And then, of course, Tito Soto was the former Senate president. This is crazy, right? I mean, two Tulfos in the top five. And slightly different in the Pulse Asia, but essentially you have one Tulfo at least, front runner, and two Tulfos beyond shoe-in, right? If you're in top five, that's not even shoe-in. That's like almost sure. Diba? So what's going on here?
Well, napag-usapan nga natin yan last episode. Eh. Nandun sila sa spectrum ng populism, di ba? At sa ngayon, hindi lamang sa Pilipinas, kundi around the world, yung populism na yan ay umaangat, di ba? Sa US, sa North America, sa Europe, no, sa Latin America, even here, no, yung paborito mong presidente ng Indonesia, di ba? Very populist yung kanya pa, using TikTok.
Prabowo, I'm nakakatakot.
Si Prabowo, di ba? Yan yung, pero napaka-powerful nung framework na quick fix, di ba? Yun yung Tulfo brand eh, quick fix. Tatawagan nila yung police, tatawagan nila yung asawa, tatawagan nila yung government official in real time, no? At kahit hindi ganun kalaki na tulungan nila, ang tingin ng buong bansa ay tinutulungan sila. Kaya yung ipapatulpo kita, isumbong kay Tulfo, has become a household brand. Diba? Kahit saan pinag-uusapan yan eh. Pinag-uusapan yan, no? Kumbaga yung The Punisher brand ni Digong sa Davao ay naging national brand. Diba? At nakakuha siya ng appeal lalo na sa mga overseas Filipinos na kinakabahan dun sa kanilang mga pamilya rito because of high crime rates. So, bagamat iba yung narrative, nandun sila pareho dun sa populist spectrum. No? Kaya makikita mo in the future, yan yung nagdo-dominate, no? Populism, disruption, disruption.
Bato de la Rosa, populist naman si ano. Marami naman mga tumatakpo na medyo may antics-antics. Bakit yung itong the Tulfo brand ay pinaka tatak dito? I mean, Ronald, would it be even controversial to say na the surprise is nauna pa si Digong sa mga Tulfos in national politics, right? Because if you think about it, mas sikat ang mga Tulfos before kay Digong, di ba? Nung if you ask anyone in
yes,
2013, 2014, 2015, mas si Montolfo ang isipin mo may chance sa national office than someone like Digong, right?
Yes.
So the appetite
pero ito,
was already there, yeah.
Yes.
The base was
ang,
there.
Ang tumakbo lang kasi si Senator Raffy Tulfo, no? At siya, bago siyang senador, pero nagmamarka na siya all over the place, no? Bago siyang senador, less than 2 years, pero nagmamarka siya, umaangat siya sa presidential. Nalampasan na niya yung lone leader, si Sara.
Yeah,
yeah,
huge,
no?
No?
In a less than a few months, di ba? Yun ang nangyayari, no? At siguro yung difference sa populist brand ng Duterte at saka ng Tulfo, eh hindi violent yung Tulfo. Di ba? Quick fix, pero hindi sila na-identify sa libo-libong extrajudicial killings.
Nagmumura sila pero walang
Yes, yes, no? At saka magaling yung performative politics ni Senator Raffy Tulfo, no? Yung kanyang main advocacy sa Senate kasi land use. So, sino yung kontrabida sa land use? Yung mga bilyar, di ba? Yung mga bilyar, which some people love to hate, no? Ikalawa, yung DepEd.
Bababa tayo. Bababa.
DepEd, indirect na tama kay Vice President, no? Nung kinakatay niya si Senator Pia Cayetano. Yung, di ba, yung pinapalabas na yung
Ito
lahat ng mga
DepEd,
papel, lahat
wala
ng mga
na.
reklamo, di ba?
Na
Hindi mo
ano
alam
na,
kung
shutdown.
di mo alam kung may laman nga yung papel, pero ang galing ng performance, di ba? Tapos sa yung loto, yung loto na very popular sa mga mahihirap sa
Balloon
D.
winner.
O sa D na parang ito na lang nga yung path sa mga mahihirap para quick quick fix or rags to riches, eh minamanipulate pa. Tapos panghuli, itong bagbanat niya sa mga pulis doon sa committee ni Bato
Nag-walk
na
out pa siya kay Bato.
minumura niya at saka
Nag-walk
nag-walk out siya. Galit na galit si Bato. Pero ang beneficiary dyan, si Senator Raffy Tulfo. So, magaling din yung kanyang performative politics, no, in reference doon sa kanilang brand. So, yung brand nila
But
umaangat.
Ronald, is it fair to just say it's performative? Kasi performative means puro lang papogi, grandstanding, pero walang substance.
As senator kasi wala hindi ka naman executive eh. 'Di ba? Wala ka namang gagawing mga programa, wala ka namang departamentong hawak, 'di ba? May kaunti kasi sigurong mga budget, pero kaya mas dominant sa Senate yung performative politics kung magaling ka, no? Kung magaling ka, no?
Now, speaking of Raffy Tulfo, obviously he's the man of the hour. We both of us knew from other surveys that he was already leading over Sara Duterte. Here, he's ahead of Sara, but more or less statistically tied. But the trajectory, as you correctly pointed out, is important. He was like barely above 15% the other
Yeah.
year. Now he's at 35%, right? That's a
Yeah.
huge jump. And sa
Yes.
NCR, he's at 41% in NCR. So ang lakas niya sa Imperial Manila, right? Balanced Luzon, he's 37%. Visayas, he's 46%. So ang lakas ng dating niya sa
Habang
Visayas.
20% si Sarah.
And
Dapat
Sara is
bailiwin si
only
Sarah ng
20%.
Visayas, di ba?
Yeah.
Pero more than double ang lampas sa kanya ni Tulfo, no? Dapat kabahan siya dahil bailiwin niya yan, eh.
Exactly. And interestingly, malakas siya sa ABC at 36%, well ahead of everyone else. And malakas siya lalo sa E, mga pinakamahirap natin mga kaubayan. So clearly you can see the Tulfo brand of justice, the quick
Yeah.
fix, the vigilante approach. This is something that appeals to the poorest of
Sa
poor
D,
people.
statistically tied sila ni Sarah. No? Sa
Yes,
D.
more or
But
less.
sa poorest of the poor, talagang umalagwa siya. Talagang
But then
malayo
again,
siya.
Ronald, this is where we see. If you see, look at Sara, her number in NCR is not even close. She's only at
Yes.
26%.
Yes.
Balanced Luzon, 23%. Visayas, she's even lower at 20%.
20.
It's again Mindanao that pushes up her number at 72%. So you could see it's really just Mindanao holding her competitive in this
Yes.
race, but
Yes.
she's extremely vulnerable in Visayas, in Balanced
Pero kung
Luzon.
may makukuha si Tulfo, kung tutuloy siya as president, kung may makukuha siya na tiga Mindanao, baka
At running
mabawasan.
mate.
Oo, as running mate, baka
Pacquiao, something like
mabawasan.
that.
Oo,
Yeah.
halimbawa. Ano yung kung kukunin ni Vice President Sara as running mate si Robin Padilla, kung titignan mo yung numbers ni Robin Padilla doon sa Vice Presidential Survey, wala siya masyadong value added kay Sara.
Yun nga, wala. Actually, I was very
Wala siyang
surprised.
value added, no?
Yeah.
Kumbaga yung kay Robin Padilla nakisara na, no?
Yun
Nakisara
nga,
na yun.
parang overlap
Oo.
lang sila. Exactly. So he's
Oo.
just an extension of Sara. Wala siyang sariling added value. You're absolutely correct about that. Lenny is still there at number three. And interestingly, Lenny statistically tied with Sara in Visayas, 18 to 20. And she's still doing pretty decently. I mean, in the sense that she's, I mean, still far away from the others, but mukhang solid pa rin si Lenny at
Hindi
number
yan
11.
insignificant, Big R, no? Dahil 11%, no? Galing ka sa pagkatalo eh. No?
Yeah.
Galing ka sa pagkatalo. Tapos nag-a-announce ka na hindi ka tatakbo for national office, magpo-focus ka na lang sa Naga, 'di ba? At natahimik ka for 2 years. Dahil nagpahinga ka, nagbiyahe ka, etc. Pero meron ka pa rin 11%. That could be the solid pink. No? That could be the
Right.
solid pink. At kung maghahanda siya or yung kanyang i-recommend na successor, kung maghahanda siya, mas mahaba yung panahon, unlike yung 2022 election na nag-decision siya tumakbo on the day of the filing, no? Kaya hindi ko sasabihin na insignificant yung 11% na yan based sa
Yeah.
ganyang klaseng
Right.
context.
Especially if magsama-samang opposition and all, Rizal, Lenny, whatever, it goes, it rally behind one candidate, then they could be kind of a third force. Because I'm sure a lot of people here, Aimee, Robin Hood, Padilla, I'm not sure if they're really going to run down the road. But aren't you surprised also with the vice presidential situation? Or perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. Grace Poe is in a very good position to become the next vice president. Assuming she can maintain her momentum, kasi patapos na yung term niya next year. So the question is what she will do from 2025 to 2027 until the campaign starts for her to be. Are you surprised? Kasi ang alam ko, she was being considered as vice presidential candidate by at least one or two persons I knew in last race. Pero hindi na daw siya tumakbo dahil tumakbo si Tito Soto because, you know, their family and whatever. But my sense also is that perhaps she was not as competitive as she could be because there's Sara. But in the next cycle, it looks like Grace Poe may have her second shot at the top offices of the land. That's an interesting because Grace Poe also represents another form of populism, right? The kind of a FPJ kind of populism.
Hindi ako surprised dahil nga yung pinag-uusapan natin populist spectrum ay nandun din yung FPJ brand, no? Yung vigilante culture natin. Napakalakas eh. No? Kaya
Or actually more like messianic savior,
yes.
savior. Kasi hindi naman vigilante si FPJ. In fairness naman, he was a great guy. God bless his soul, right?
Yes. At least yung mga movies niya is also out of the box,
yes, like
disruptive,
Alpha Male
no?
and all, yeah.
Saka,
See God.
sabi mo nga messianic. At yan ay nagra-rub on pa rin kay Grace po, no? In fairness, meron namang deliverable si Grace po nung naging senador. Pero ang dominant pa rin, pag iniisip ng mga tao si Grace Poe, ang naiisip nila si FPJ.
Okay.
Which is also within the populist spectrum.
Okay. Let's talk about Grace Poe because this is an interesting situation, right? Obviously, siya yung naging betanua ng quote-unquote Dilaw people. Everyone is blaming her among those people, not me. Na siya yung dahilan na nanalo si Digong noong 2016. Ako, to be honest, I don't know if you agree with me, Ronald. Let's talk about this kasi we haven't talked about it that much. So I'm glad that we can talk about Grace Poe again because we assume she's not a factor when in fact she can be once again a factor and she's way ahead. I mean, she's at 35% for vice presidency. The second one is Aimee Marcos at 16%. Ang layo, it's
Layo.
not even close.
Layo.
Ang layo. And then the others are like 14%. Robin Padilla is even very weak also as vice president. So it looks like if she just doesn't do anything stupid, she would be in a very, very, very advantageous position. It's just a question of sino pipili niya as her presidential mate. I mean, you can imagine a Raffy Tulfo and Grace Poe. I mean, that would be also a very interesting setup. So let's talk about Grace Poe a bit, no? Before we talk about, you know, the opposition. First of all, I mean, Ronald, etong basa ko, kung hindi nagkalat si Binay doon sa mga debates, I think Binay could have won the 2016 race because he was already number one by January. And clearly, after yung mga debates, his performance was just so bad. I think if I were his team, I would say, Sir, wag mo nang patulan. Gawin mo yung ginawa ng unity team last elections, di ba? Gawa ka ng sarili mong SMNI debates, whatever. Or don't just do anything like Sara. Of course, I disagree with that in principle, but that would be strategy kasi mahirapan talaga siya i-defend yung mga, alam mo na, yung mga controversy back then. So for me, the biggest factor why nanalo si Digong is because Binay completely just, you know, collapsed because Binay was the populist par excellence of Philippine politics. I mean, ganito kami sa Makati, gusto ko maging ganito. I mean, how can you even beat that? Right? Again, we know the facts of Makati and all, but in terms of messaging, branding, ang ganda ng brand ni Binay in every sense of the word. The infrastructure, the ILG infrastructure, everything he had during the time of Pinoy. So the Grace Poe one is interesting to me because yes, I understand that the questioning of her citizenship did affect her because temporarily tinanggal siya sa ballot, so that affected funding and all of that. But to blame her for Marohas not winning, you know, for all of the good things I've said about Marohas, let's also be very realistic about this. Pag sinama yung first and second preference, Grace Poe would have been a majority candidate, right? I think number three siya's first preference. Pero pag sinama yung second preference and all, actually Grace Poe, in a run of elections, would have won. She would have been the president of the Philippines. Kasi even if bumaba siya as number one preference, halos lahat ng ibang candidates, number two preference, sila si Grace Poe. Ito yung nakita ko sa polarization noon. But the thing is, after 2016 and Digong winning and all, Maro has just disappeared. And then Gracewell became the kind of a scapegoat of everyone in the pro Mar or whatever camp. Na say, eto kasi itong babae na to, ambisyosa, bakit ganyan, bakit ganyan. So in a way, parang na-cancel siya, if I can put it that way, na-cancel siya. And the thing with Gracewell, I mean, Ronald, you correct me. From my understanding of Gracewell is, you're correct, there's the Poe name, there's the FBJ branding. But if you look at Gracewell herself, she's almost your typical Democrat president, right? I mean, a candidate, right? Like in the US, like, you know, liberal, sound, very empirical, pragmatic, of course, knows how to, you know, be centrist. I mean, she's a kind of a centrist Democrat, if I can put it, like a version of the Philippines, right? So had she become the president or should she become the president in the future, I think she would do a lot of good standard policies way better than what we are even getting under Ferdinand Jr. So, Ikaw, what is your read on the whole Grace Po episode? And now she may have a second shot at the highest offices. Mukhang hindi na wala yung flame niya. Old flame eh. Yeah?
Well, in retrospect, no? Anybody can be better than Digong. Diba? In retrospect. Because the bar went so low eh. No? Kaya Binay, Grace Po, Mar, no? Si Miriam kasi may sakit na nun eh. No, at eventually pass away. So anybody dyan sa apat could, in retrospect, could have done better than Digong, no? Ikalawa ay tama yung sabi mo, no? May mga variables na nakatulong kay Digong para manalo. Yung pagbagsak ni Binay on corruption charges, 2 years yan eh. 2 years na Senate hearing yan eh. At na-mishandle ni Binay. Diba? Na-mishandle niya yung narrative at saka yung management nung ganung klaseng offensive laban sa kanya. Si Grace po, partly yung kanyang citizenship, muntik na siya matalo sa Senate Electoral Tribunal, nanalo lang siya by one vote, no? At eventually nanalo siya sa Supreme Court. Pero yung span of time na hindi malinaw kung siya ay pwedeng tumakbo, cost her something, no? Pero tingin ko mas malaking cost sa kanya yung kanyang narrative na wala during the campaign eh. Yung kanyang narrative na ampunin si Grace po, 'di ba? Yung sympathy sa isang ampon na dinedemonize ng mga iba niyang kalaban, nakatulong yan para umangat siya. Pero during the campaign, especially during the debates, she sounded like a traditional politician. No, kung makikita mo, nawala yung kanyang mythology eh, na ampon, no, na sympathy sa ampon, tapos dagdag yung FPJ during the debate, no? Tingin ko yung mga
she
debate
did very well during the debates. I think she was the best in the debates. I mean, at
yes,
least first or second debate.
Pero ang hinahanap ng tao is a disruptor eh, di ba? Hinahanap nila ay yung emotional eh. Siya naging cognitive siya eh, nung debate, di ba?
Okay, let's be honest. I don't think the cognitive was the problem. I think the problem was the Chis Escudero effect. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. Escudero's collapse was even bigger in terms of numbers.
Yeah, right? Nakabawa sa kanya yun.
And then purong nagpakit lang siya. Wala siyang substantive.
Pero yung pinakamahalaga, no, in-underestimate nila lahat si Digong. Di ba? In-underestimate nila. Una, yung narrative ni Digong, hindi siya tatakbo habang nagbibuild na siya ng machinery. No? Kinuwento ko yan eh, kay Pinoy tsaka kay Mare. Dahil nakasama ako sa isang birthday party noong February 9, 2015 na, more than a year before the election. Dumating si Digong, dumating si Bongo, at kinausap nila sa ERAP para kunin si Ben Jokno at saka si Lilin Briones sa kanyang kitchen cabinet. No? Habang in public, sinasabi niya hindi siya tatakbo. No, ni-report ko yan eh. Sabi ko, boss, tatakbo. Huwag kayong maniwala, hindi tatakbo. No? Yun yung yun nangyari. Pero in-underestimate nila. Ang tingin nga ng mga iba ay makakatulong siya, no, para mabawasan ng boto si Binay at saka si Grace sa Mindanao. No? So, ganun. Yung ikalawa ay yung substitution. Di ba hindi siya nag-file eh, for president? No? Si Dino yung nag-file. Pero ganun din yung sabi ko sa kanila, hindi totoo yan. Tutuloy yan eh. Pero walang naniwala eh. Walang naniwala eh. At lahat sila, minamaliit si Digong dahil yung kanyang absolute numbers, mababa pa. Ang hindi nila tinignan yung trajectory na pinag-uusapan natin, hindi nila tinignan yung movement of numbers. No, hindi
And
nila
also the
tinignan.
sentiment that there's a lot of
Yes, hindi
backlash
nila
dun sa
tinignan.
APEC, sa Mama Sapano. I mean,
Yes,
yung
yes.
rage politics eh.
Yes. Tsaka hindi nila tinignan yung mga mobilization, yung mga rallies ni Digong, talagang kwan. Talagang hindi hakot. No? Talagang spontaneous. No? Yung kanyang
Organic.
authenticity, yung kanyang spontaneity, umaangat. Na yung kanyang pagmumura ay naging authentic para sa maraming mga tao, especially the overseas Filipinos. No? So, yun yung ikatlong factor. No? In-underestimate nila lahat. At halimbawa, nung debate, no? Digong did the trump eh. Di ba? Sabi niya, oh, si Kwan, si Binay, corrupt. One-liner. Si Grace po, hindi yan Pilipino. Di ba? Ganun lang eh, di ba? Tapos,
Si
ang...
Mar Palpak, 'di ba? Yung ganun yata, 'di ba?
Tapos si Kwan, si Miriam, nagmano siya. Di ba nagmano siya, di ba? Para siyang, para siyang grandioso kay Miriam. Habang doon sa iba, very critical siya. No? Di ba? One-liners eh. Yun ang nagmarka. Yun ang nagmarka, no? Kaya,
I mean, audience impact niya was definitely there. Tsaka yung inaasar niya, oy, Mar, pangatlong ano mo na yan, ha? Di ba? Yung mga parang nanerbyoso ka.
Kaya,
Ganun niya, yung grabe, di ba?
ang tingin ko, hindi naman si Grace yung nagpatalo kay Mar. It is Digong yung nagpatalo. No? Yung Digong na in-underestimate, yung Digong na naging spontaneous at saka authentic, no? Eh talagang lahat sila matatalo, no? Tingin ko,
Or because
in
yung tatlo,
retrospect,
nagpatayan yung tatlo, he just came from behind, right?
yes,
Grace
yes,
Poe
yes.
versus Mar versus
Dahil nga
Binay.
in-underestimate nila eh.
Exactly.
In-underestimate nila. Ang tingin nila, silang tatlo ang makakalaban. Hindi si Digong. Habang si Digong, hindi nila na-monitor, pataas na ng pataas yung trajectory. No? Paganda na ng paganda yung mga mobilizations. No? Etc.
Right.
So, medyo naka-perfect storm si Digong noong 2016.
Yeah.
Kaya hindi ko i-blame. Hindi ko i-blame yung iba sa pagkatalo nila. Ang i-blame ko si Digong. Natalo sila because of the Digong narrative.
Yeah,
The
I mean,
Digong
and
ideology.
I would also say it this way. Definitely there was a lot of problem on the side of Binay. I'm talking about tactics pa. I'm not even talking about substantive problems. I also think the problem was both Mar and Ho did not or were kind of not encouraged to or discouraged from pushing it to the next level. You know what I mean here, right? I mean, God bless his soul, Pinoy. He had a lot of good things to bring to the table. But honestly, you're not going to win the presidency by promising the same thing, especially when the limits of that approach was already exposed by 2014-15. So honestly, you tell me if I'm wrong. My understanding is Mar, personally, some people in his camp wanted him to go the next level and admit many of the shortcomings of his friend. But mukhang there was an intervention. I'm not going to say who, but like I'm kind of privy to some of the conversations there. Again, we're saying this not in the context of Marites or politicking. We're saying this because I think people also have to realize the Mar and the Poe that we saw were not the best version. My understanding is that Grace Poe, kung siguro hindi siya nag-team up kay Escudero and the thing with Mar was resolved, you would have seen a different Grace Poe, a much more out there, much more inspirational Grace Poe. So I think that was the other thing. They both of them underperformed and both of them were kind of like ipit ng isang kamay nila, di ba? You tell me, Ronald, kasi yan ang
Yes,
pagka-intindi ko
yes, yes.
from people who
Yung
know what is going on.
yung brand ni Mar is basically the brand of Pinoy. 'Di ba? Tama 'yung sinasabi mo na dapat naka-create si Mar ng sarili niyang brand, no? Pero nandun siya sa shadow ni Pinoy at hindi siya nakaalis doon at yung brand ni Pinoy na hindi naman na bagay sa kanya ang naging dominant brand, no? Hindi na necessarily fault 'yan eh. Fault din 'yan ng boss ko, no? Ng boss ko dahil nung in-endorse niya si Mar, no? In-endorse niya si Lenny, talagang napakalaki ng kanyang shadow sa likod nila, no? Hindi nakaalis, no? Dapat parehong nagkaroon ng effort to create a different brand, 'di ba? Both si Pinoy at saka si Mark. But all of that is in retrospect, no? Binabalikan natin ngayon.
But Ronald, we're not doing retrospective, you know, to assign blame and all. I'm just trying to make sense out of Philippine politics kasi I think may tendency tayo sa Philippines, todo
Good luck.
analysis tayo. And then kung tapos na elections, as if nothing happened. And ganun talaga eh, parang tadhana. Yung ganun yung approach. When in fact,
Sabi ko,
we can learn
good luck.
lessons.
Sabi ko,
Diba?
good luck in making sense of Philippine politics.
Well, I mean, that's why we have this podcast. It's my bread and butter. Oh, para lang ano, ma-maintain natin yung sea level na lifestyle natin. No, but Ronald, again, my thing kasi is, look at it. BBM was a loser in 2016,
Yeah.
and yet he comes back and gets the biggest margin of votes. And again, we can of course talk about the circumstances. Yeah, yes, but he kind of broke a kind of a presumption, right? A long-held myth or presumption na you know, once natalo ka na sa isang ganyan level, tapos ka na. But actually, BBM proved that you can come back and even come back with a vengeance, right?
Yes.
As I said, Leni could still be competitive if she comes back.
Yes.
And now we're seeing with Grace Bo, hindi tapos ang laban niya. She could actually come back and do even better than what many people
Yeah.
expected back
Yeah.
in the day. So
Yeah.
so we're doing this retrospective because we're trying to understand what is right for these people if they want to win it back.
Yes,
Or win that.
at bata pa siya. Bata pa siya, no?
Bata pa siya, exactly.
She can reinvent herself. No?
Exactly,
At
exactly.
learn, sabi mo, learn from the past.
Yeah, and as far as the tulfos are concerned, they're gonna juice it, you know, while they're hot,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Balita ko,
Yeah.
ba't yung kuya nila gusto na sumali? So medyo magulong usapan na yan, di ba? Wait lang, pati ako. Bakit ang yung ganun? Bakit, bakit
Sino
ako
kuya?
lagi?
Sino kuya nila yung nagbulbe
Alam mo
sa
na.
airport?
The originale, originale, originale. Ronald. No, again, I like this discussion, Ronald, because you cannot have proper analysis of the future if you don't keep on trying to make sense out of the past. I mean, this is dialectical, right? The past makes sense in context of the present, and the future can be traced from how you understand the past and the present. So that's what I'm talking about, Ronald. Thank you, Ronald. Grazie, grazie. Now, I think let's talk about in the final episode, politica, geopolitica. Thank you very much. Grazie, grazie mille.
Grazie.
Grazie mille, mille.